Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started. What's up, After Buzzers? You are tuned into the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Season 3, Episode 4, Brothers in Broken Arms, and you know it's about to go down because someone straight up dies. So stick around.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Oh, man. Mark Tanaka, you are a scholar and a gentleman.
Get it? I had no idea.
That's
guys,
so good.
We like to keep it on theme with the musical cues here.
What a good pull.
Oh, boy.
I thought Ninja Rap because right? of the ending.
Sure.
So then
sure.
I was trying to think of like other songs he could have picked, but this is genius.
This is pretty incredible. Guys, as I said, you are watching the Lucha Underground After Show right here on AfterBuzz TV. We are talking Season 3, Episode 4, Brothers in Broken Arms. I am always Ty Matthews. You can find me on social media at Ty Matthews PMA. Joining me, as always, my lovely and talented co-host. First of all, of course, remiss would we be to not mention, saddened by her absence, the beautiful, talented Rachel Sam Evans. Very, very under the weather. As you know she should be, because she would never pass up an opportunity to talk about her favorite soggy boy, Dario Cueto, who we will get into tonight. He was chewing up some scenery.
Spooky.
But, of course, in his normal spot, Mr. 100% attendance himself. He's a wrestling fan. He's a historian. He's a documentarian. You can find his beautiful, beautiful documentary at highspots.com. Ladies and gentlemen, at Jimbo in the booth, Mr. Jimbo Frank.
Hello, Ty. How are you?
Fantastic. Good to be here. A little bit later than usual.
It's late for a Thursday, but we're going to rock it out.
It's going to be a little bit loopier than normal, which is already pretty bad.
It's going to be loopy, boy.
But where can they find you? They can find you
find
at Jimbo in the
Twitter
booth, right?
Jimbo in the booth, yeah.
That's right. I got to remember, it's Jimbo in the booth now.
It's Jimbo
no
in the
numbers,
booth.
No slice, R.I.P. Kimbo. It's Jimbo in the booth.
Yeah. R.I.P. Kimbo, it's now Jimbo in the booth.
Exactly. And we'll plug that fantastic documentary at the end
we'll
of the show, as we always do. It's an amazing, amazing watch. But let's get into Season 3, Episode 4, Brothers in Broken Arms. We start out with Sexy Star with her Gift of the Gods title in the locker room.
I forgot she had that.
With the Gift of the Gods title?
Yeah, I forgot she had that until she was sitting there, like, caressing it.
Well, and we
like,
knew.
Oh, yeah.
We knew not too long ago that this had to be leading to Atomicos action, the trios title match between Phoenix, Aerostar, and Drago, and Taya, PJ Black, and Jack Evans. Of course, all of the shenanigans that happened afterwards had to lead to this Atomicos match that we see tonight. But she's in the back. She's got her Gift of the Gods title. Of course, El Jefe himself says that he asks her if she's afraid. Asks her if she's afraid for her friend the Mac or afraid for herself. And she speaks, I believe she speaks for the first time we've seen her in English. I think this
Other
might
than
be...
the, fuck you!
That's also, okay, that's a good point. That's a very good point. That was very much English. I forgot about that.
Thank you, Mark.
Yes. So we get a little bit more English from her. She says she'll never be afraid again. And of course, Dario, being the slimy, soggy boy that he is, starts kind of mocking her English skills. And I think these were some of my favorite lines of not only this episode, but of the whole show. He says, "You should be afraid." Like, the way he was hitting those words. Because he brings up a good point.
I spin it.
I spin it. Oink, oink, oink.
Baby, Mac, baby.
We've been getting so much gold. But he brings up a good point. She's kind of boned either way. Either she keeps defending her title and risks losing it. Or she cashes it in against a friggin' killer with God's living inside of him.
Yeah.
So it's really...
It's a catch-22.
It's, yeah, exactly. You're kind of, you're not really on the winning side either way. But he says, I am afraid I have to leave. So, of course, right as soon as he walks out, Johnny Mundo comes in. He properly introduces himself for the first time. Hard to believe they've never met, but of course, being the cocksure gentleman that he is, introduces himself as the future Gift of the Gods champion. So he we saw him last week demanding a title shot. That's not going to happen. So now he's going after the Gift of the Gods title. It makes sense.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm. Still a title shot.
Kind sure.
Of. The best part of this was when he leaves and she gets pissed and kicks the locker. And I was expecting, like, some kind of effect or it to fall over. And it just, nothing.
not an inch.
Not even, like, a sound effect or nothing is, like.
Not a bunch.
Like, no tiger roar, no video games, no nothing.
Nope. Nothing at all.
Sometimes a locker is just a locker.
Yeah.
And it just won't go anywhere, no matter how hard you kick it.
It would have been hilarious if she kicked it and someone was like, ow.
So
and
just,
she opens it and there's like
Ricky Mendel's.
I was going to say Ricky.
He's all got the pictures from last week. He's like, hey, I'm looking at these.
Well, really, he put them up in his locker before he got stuffed in it.
These are really nifty pictures, mister.
Oh, was that Mr. Cueto? Oh,
that was the best. I was just like, what?
Oh, it's so good.
Like, Mill punches down, like, four rows of lockers.
Exactly.
She kicks it, and it doesn't even budge.
Not an inch. I love it.
So
next up, we've got Siniestro de la Muerte. Glad to see him back, taking on the newly edgified Prince Puma, who specifically requested this match because of his beef with Mil Muertes.
Yeah. I loved how Vamp, before this match starts, he talks about, like, you got to go down a dark tunnel to find light at the end.
Right.
And, like, this is, like, Puma's way of, like, okay, I'm going to be dark and just, like, go at it to get to Mill. So, like, beating Mill is the light at the end of his time.
Right, right, right. He's got to fight a bunch of himself in a cave.
Yeah.
that's the dark path.
Yeah, totally.
As we know. But this match, I love this match because you don't really get straight up, like, just guys getting trucked like in squash matches. Like even the matches that are theoretically squash matches are still really competitive. And so we got a lot of good offense from Siniestro de la Muerte in this one.
Yeah, and Puma definitely got like all of his shit in.
Oh, definitely.
He was doing like everything. And the funniest was like he nails him with like a nasty chop. He does a snapmare and kick to the back. And I'm like, he's hitting all those like dick wrestler moves.
Oh, 100%.
Like, oh. I was waiting for a back chop.
Exactly.
I was like, if he back chops him,
that's
it's just
the
like
trick.
The icing on the cake of like every dick move you could do.
Right, exactly, exactly. That a beautiful, beautiful submission at one point, just hoisting him up upside down on his knee.
Yeah, like the way he got him into that too, it was like, I'm going to hook your arms, and then he tucks his head, and then all of a sudden he was like upside down. Yeah. Like, and then when he lets him out, he just like throws him out, and he lands, and then he covers him for a
pin. It was pretty perfect. Yeah, exactly. We saw Siniestro de la Muerte hit the martinis, if y'all are fans of Pretty Peter Avalon.
Like the reverse ones.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome.
Sets him up, looked like he might have been going for a Shining Wizard from the back, ends up hitting him with the martinis.
Shining Wizard!
Mamma Mia! There was one moment in the match that I actually really enjoyed from Siniestro de la Muerte where it's like he starts out like an enziguri. He kind of steps off the near leg, but then almost just kind of slaps him in the back of the head. It was a weird move, but I dug it.
Yeah, and like in the beginning, they're doing like back and forth, like just slaps.
Right,
like,
exactly.
They weren't even like really punching each other. They're just like slapping the shit out of each other.
Sometimes
like, what's going on?
Sometimes that's what
like,
you got to do.
Puma's just clawing.
Just
clawing.
Kitty paws.
Kitty paws.
But eventually he hits that kind of reverse Bloody Sunday lift into a Michinoku driver.
Whereas when Frankie Kazarian used to use it, called it like the wave of the future.
That's
right.
Yeah. That was that's a
from
what
like,
a callback.
From like that UPW news.
Oh, he was using that in EWF when I started.
Yeah.
That's way back. But eventually he's not done just yet. He makes eye contact with Mil Muertes, who's at ringside. What's that?
I love how like Mil comes out, runs in the ring. He like sidesteps him and he goes back out of the ring.
Yep.
And then he just waits there.
It was just a Benny Hill skit, really.
You
bested me.
Prince Puma looking at Mil Muertes like,
yes, Satan.
Oh man. Oh, we have got some delicious new pulls for y'all.
Holy Testicle Tuesday.
What is that? Oh, this makes me so happy. What if we start getting into When Nature Calls sound bites eventually?
See you next week.
I'm there all day. Eventually, Puma makes eye contact with Mil Muertes at ringside, hits the flatliner, Mil Muertes' own finisher, on Siniestro de la Muerte for the win. Mil Muertes and Puma get into a fracas at ringside. Katrina stops it because she knows that maybe this new Puma is a little bit much.
He's definitely dark. He for Mil the dark to take gear.
On. Of course.
Definitely not the same. Very cocky Puma.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. From there, let's go to Dario Cueto's office. One of my favorite places
best
to
place
be.
In it's best place in the temple.
Exactly, exactly. This scene might have been one of my absolute favorite vignettes in the whole show. Like, we've seen so much Godfather influence this season.
That hug.
Oh boy, that
I was waiting for the kiss.
Exactly, exactly.
You broke my heart, Fred.
We've gotten. I think it was either episode one or episode two. There was a musical cue that sounded just like the Godfather score, but this scene also very obviously very reminiscent Fredo, of course, but it's there's so much going on, there's so much subtext. We know that Dario knows. Ooh, there you go. We know that Dario knows. We know that Cortez pretty much knows he knows. Like, everyone's kind of on the same level. No one's allowed to talk about it, so there's so much subtext going on. Not only that, there's so much cinematography happening in the scene. There's a moment where Dario's face is perfectly framed by his lamp. There are those two posts and then the top of the lamp, and his head is almost completely framed, and under it is his name placard that says I'm kind of a big deal.
Oh, that's so good.
But he's apologetic for the loss of Mr. Sisko.
He wants to find the real killer.
He promises to find the real killer. He posits the theory that it might have been Big Rick.
You know, he did burn out his
eye. He burned out his eye, which is an amazing, amazing callback to several seasons ago. Of course, we know the real fate of Big Rick becoming a skull in Mil Muertes' Shao Kahn throne. Yep, sadly, sadly. But he says that Cortez Castro has a match coming up, the match of his career. And Cortez, to his credit, to Reyes' credit, the look on his face is like he's going out to his own execution.
Yeah. And it was crazy because I think that's the first time that I can remember them announcing a match from the office.
Exactly.
Because you can hear Melissa Santos, like, faintly in the background, like, call out his name, and he's like, oh, it's time for you to go.
Right.
And even, like, Stryker was like, oh, he just came out of Dario's office. This is an impromptu match. Wonder what's going to happen. So I thought that
exactly.
was really cool.
Yeah, it's a way to kind of connect parts of the temple that don't usually get connected.
Yeah.
Like, it's weird because we always see Dario's office, but it's easy to forget that it's there because what happens there is always so separated from what happens in the ring. So yeah, I think to your point, it's a way of kind of tying everything in together, making everything spatially part of the same universe. But of course, it looks like he's going out to his own execution because he's going one-on-one with Pentagon Dark. And it's a pretty quick match.
Yeah, like it is the closest thing to a squash match.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah, he at one point Pentagon gets him up against the ropes to give him one of those brutal baseball pitch esque chops.
Bam!
Looks Vampiro dead in his eyes. Hits that chop. Next thing we know, Cortez is upside down in a package pile driver.
Three up, three down, and he's done.
And not only that, but of course Pentagon has to make an example out of someone.
I can break it.
Exactly. Snaps the arm of Cortez Castro. And seamlessly, what I love is that it goes right from the story involving Cortez Castro and kind of almost being punished by Dario, just directly segueing perfectly into the story between not only Pentagon and Vampiro, but Pentagon and Chavo, Pentagon and Dragon Azteca Jr. He says he doesn't even respect his own mother.
This is such a good promo.
Like,
I'll beat up that old man Chavo. Right. I'll beat up that skinny punk Dragon Azteca.
Disappointed!
It's
I don't
so
even
good.
Respect my own mother.
I love that he's able to cut promos in Spanish with subtitles because even if you didn't have any idea what he was saying, his conviction and the way he delivers it makes him such compelling promos.
I think he cursed in Spanish, so
they
changed it. Yeah,
they changed it to punk. I remember that.
I was just like, oh,
That's interesting. I wonder if it wasn't on El Rey and if it was on like an English network, like if they would have just let that slide.
Yeah,
like we don't know what that means.
Right? Yeah, because the subtitles it changed to Skinny Punk Dragon Stegger Jr.
Like, I don't think he said Skinny Punk.
It was Skinny something. But absolutely seamless. Next up, we've got Atomico's action, which I love. I love that they broke it down like that, because of course you've got mano a mano, you've got parejas increíbles, you've got trios action, and of course you've got 4-on-4 Atomicos action. So we've got the trios champions, Phoenix, Drago. Jesus, Drago.
And Aerostar.
I've got other dragons. I've got Dragon Azteca Jr. on the mind. Phoenix, Drago, and Aerostar teaming up with the Gift of the Gods champion, Sexy Star, to take on all four members of the Worldwide Underground. That's Johnny Mundo, Taya, PJ Black, and Jack Evans.
Sour Jack Evans.
Sour Jack Evans. I love... Now, we heard last week that Jack Evans' inactivity was possibly due to a broken jaw. This match definitely seemed to further that theory, because normally he's cutting entire promos in the
during
ring,
the match,
even without
talk.
A mic.
Yeah.
And didn't even say
talk.
A word.
It looked like his jaw was shut the entire time.
Right, exactly, exactly. But that's still crazy. Can still do back handsprings, can still do front handsprings, can still pull Sexy Star into that modified turkey in the straw, hit her with the fingers.
Yeah. It always makes me think like I'll always hear wrestlers say, like, you don't really know how to work until you have to work hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So like it really shows like him not being able to go out there and take the crazy bumps that he normally could take, but he could still go out there and be flashy and entertaining.
Sure.
And piss people off and be like, oh, I can't wait till they hit him, and then he just runs away.
Right, you know? Exactly.
Or he pouts in the corner and doesn't want to tag, or tags in and tags out. Like, he did a really good job of not like... Like, if I didn't know he was injured, I would have just been like, oh, Jack's just being a heel.
Right, exactly. Yeah, it's kind of hard to discern. One thing I loved about this, and one thing that I've been noticing a lot lately, is kind of the prevalence of MMA tropes in pro wrestling. That's one thing that we've noticed, obviously, with the CWC. We've noticed it here. One thing that I've been seeing over the past couple of weeks is guys checking kicks the way that guys check kicks in the UFC, in the Octagon, in Bellator, what have you. And announcers calling it out as such. At one point, I think it's PJ Black goes for a kick on Drago, and Drago kind of checks it. He pulls his leg up.
And he sweeps him.
And he checks it, and then he sweeps him. Yeah, exactly. And so it's little things like that that kind of add that air of authenticity to matches like this. Matches that involve dragons and time-traveling nunchuck men.
Yes.
You know.
I think one of my favorite moves in this match was when Taya goes past Sexy Star, and she kind of hits her with, like, a sling blade, but not, like a reverse X Factor.
Oh yeah,
like she runs past her and she like grabs her hair.
It was similar to like an Edge-O-Matic kind of that sit out slam.
Yeah, but the way like she went into it was, I was like, oh, that's a cool counter reversal thing like I hadn't seen before.
It was kind of reminiscent of a sling blade. Yeah, I didn't even think about that.
I thought that was great.
We get some double team action from Sexy Star and I believe it's Phoenix Quesadora into the leg drop. Love that.
And they even like they do that to PJ Black and then he. Or was it Aerostar and Drago where they do like the slingshot and the guy elbows him in the face?
Yeah.
They tried to do that again and PJ Black like countered it with like a shoulder tackle and then like grabs the dude's head, drops it on
the top
rope and hits a leg drop.
The
and
combination,
I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, the combination kind of guillotine hot shot and the leg drop.
I was like, oh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, exactly. So it, little things like that, you know, they
like fool me once.
Exactly. What else?
Aerostar was doing some gnarly hop. I don't understand how he hops from the second rope and then over the top.
Exactly.
Into the ring. Like,
it
baffles my mind.
Because you got to think, you would have to sort of jump around the
like,
top rope.
You're jumping up, but trying not to hit your legs, and then over.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Like, you like tuck your body in and then out. Like, I don't know.
I guess that's
so
that's
weird.
Really what the key is. Yeah, just tucking those legs in.
It was crazy.
At one point, there's a huge sequence of kind of shotgun finishers where Aerostar hits the springboard code breaker. Drago hits a huge tornado DDT. Phoenix hits the 450 splash on Mundo, and even that's not the end.
Yeah.
Eventually, Sexy Star. She gets Jack Evans rather in a backslide position, eats a super kick from Johnny Mundo. Ooh. Jack Evans hits the backslide combination with the jackknife pin. Willie Mack calls that the black slide, if you've ever seen him do that.
That's good.
It's just the backslide with that kind of that flip
over
bridge. Exactly. But that gets the win. And I love that even the injured one was the one that got the
pin.
That's
what I really liked. I was like, oh, they just like anyone who didn't know he was injured, like, definitely was just like, oh, it was just a normal match.
Exactly, you know, exactly. Like, but not only that, so Worldwide Underground, they get the victory, but it looks like Taya takes a spill on her ankle off of that kind of sweep to the outside.
Yeah, she took, like, the Chris Hamrick bump.
That was the Chris Hamrick bump, wasn't it?
Kicked and then shot through the ropes, and you just fall right to the floor.
Oh, Confederate currency.
Like, oh, man.
Oh, man.
And she hit like, a great clothesline in the corner and then takes the legs out and hits her, like, berserker.
When she does
knees
that...
of furry.
When she does that baseball slide right before the double knees, I love the way that looks.
Yeah, she's amazing.
That sequence of moves, yeah, absolutely incredible.
So amazing, so entertaining.
Definitely, definitely. What else? Backstage, we've got Mil Muertes at this shrine.
So good.
The shrine that we saw. I think we saw a glimpse of it in the season 3 trailer. Did we see this in season 2, this location?
I don't know.
Near the end of the season.
Did we? Okay, yeah. Just super spooky. Spooky town.
Spooky.
Spooky town all night long.
Spooky.
Of course, Siniestro de la Muerte is sorry. We know how much that's worth to Katrina and Mil Muertes. Katrina.
You could stuff your sorries in a sack, mister.
That's incredible. Katrina, as you may have guessed from our musical interlude this week, straight up snaps his neck.
So cool.
But she doesn't stop there.
No.
You know how we love Mortal Kombat on the Lucha Underground After Show. Straight up, the way that Shang Tsung sucks out the soul of Hakim the Machine Alston in the original Mortal Kombat film.
I love you for that pull.
Do you like that? The way he sucks out that soul, that's exactly what she does. She snaps his neck, sucks his soul out, breathes it into Mil Muertes' face, and then performs the lick of death.
Yes. So cool.
There's
so cool.
Oh, boy.
And when she breathes it in and he sucks it in, he gets like the little electric.
Yeah.
Like the little lightning goes up his head. I was like, oh, this is so cool.
What is happening?
Well, that seems like a message as to why they need each other, because Mil Muertes needs more lives and the only way to get them is through Katrina.
That's a good point. That's a very good point.
Real quick, Peg Junk in the chat said something very, very wonderful. He just said, he gone.
He gone. It almost reminds me of Be Gone. Jimmy the Comedian. Okay.
I will rule you.
I will reign supreme. So yeah, we've got all three Disciples of Death, for those of you keeping score at home, dunzo list.
And that's the third time he's dead, right? That was the third time he died? Or no?
Who's that? Sinestro?
Yeah.
What, as a character?
Yeah, because he's... Did he die when the other ones died and she just brought him back?
No.
He was the one
that killed the other two.
Okay.
But this would be, I guess this would be his second death, his true death for you True Blood fans out there. But yeah, he gone. Peg-John put it perfectly, nailed it. So all three Disciples of Death, dunzo.
R.I.P.
Or at least these Disciples of Death.
Oh, man. What if there's, like, a whole army of them?
Yo, I'm all, like, I'm sitting here, like, you know.
Oh, boy.
As long
Sorry,
as
I lost
it's not, like, the Spawn army and they all just get murdered.
No,
in, like,
no,
one
no.
Fell swoop.
I'm imagining, like, a straight-up, like, Black Lantern Corps of just, like, all these different disciples.
We got Big Rick coming back as an undead.
Oh, this needs to happen. And...
That'd be amazing if he, like, holds his eye.
Oh, my God. Why can't this happen? We need, as ridiculous as stuff gets in the temple, we need to go that extra mile. We need zombies. We need zombies holding their own eyeballs. We need this to happen. Oh, man. Imagine if Bale came back as a Disciple of Death. But he's like, no, I'm thinking, like, Idle Hands style.
Oh,
like, the duct tape around the neck.
Oh, that's so good. That's so good.
Please make this
He's
happen,
all, like,
guys.
Smoking, and there's just smoke coming out of the hole in his neck. That'd be so great.
So, wait. So, yeah. So
or, like, Bill and Ted.
So, Bale's dead. Big Rick's dead. Who else is dead in canon?
Cello.
Oh, Cisco.
Cisco.
Yeah.
Zombie Cisco.
That's cool.
This needs to happen, guys.
We got new Disciples of Death.
I'm pretty excited about this. Even if this
season 4.
Even if this never happens, I'm just pretty excited that it's been committed to headcanon.
And it follows the three up, three down. We got three down. We got to get three more up.
You
got to get down to get up.
Thinker. Oh, boy.
Ain't I a stinker.
All right, let's get back to actual canon. Our main event of the night, Dragon Azteca Jr. taking on Chavo Guerrero, guest referee Rey Mysterio, the winner getting a shot at revenge against Pentagon Dark, who broke both of their arms in seasons past.
Rey comes out and he's wearing like ref clothes.
Just regular.
And I was just like, what?
We were really kind of hoping.
I was really hoping he'd have like the striped ref mask. No.
Nope.
He's got a ref t-shirt. It's like tucked into his pants. He looks like a normal ref.
He just straight up borrowed a ref shirt.
And then he's got wrist tape.
That's what he does.
I was like, well, you got wrist tape on.
It's a little weird. It's a little, you know, when you're counting those pins, you want to make sure that wrist stays secure.
I was stoked that he actually like got down to count the pins and didn't go like lucha ref where they just like stomp their foot.
Mm-hmm.
Like lazy lucha ref where they're just, I ain't even getting on the mat. I'm just gonna stomp my foot.
I remember those days. The Anaheim Marketplace.
It was like Arm Drag City.
Oh,
Dragon
man. See, now, that was one thing that I noticed during this match is that, obviously, this being Lucha Underground, obviously being a Lucha Libre-influenced program, you get so many incredible Alitas and arm drags and takedowns and what have you. There's almost a point where it reaches a point of diminishing returns, where it's like, yeah, I know technically this is really cool, but we've seen so many arm drags by now that it's like...
And, like, this is a fight.
Like, right,
you
exactly.
Dudes are, like, in
why are you
arm dragging
each other?
Why are you arm dragging each other?
But one thing that I did really enjoy about this match was a callback to the segment, the training segment that we saw, because Chavo Guerrero hits that Lance Storm roll through into the Canadian Maple Leaf.
Loved it.
See,
so
it's
good.
The continuity. It's there. It works.
I love the
time's
commentators are just talking about how, like, Chavo can do good matches when he wants to. Like,
right.
Like, oh, when he feels like putting on those boots.
It's a very real note.
He could definitely, like, do some damage, you know? Like,
for as silly as the temple can get, it's a very real, authentic note.
I was just, like, sitting there, like, yeah, he's had some badass matches recently. And then I'm, like, watching this, and I'm like, this is definitely not one of them.
Right.
Like, because was it him versus Tejano?
Uh-huh.
That it was just like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Like, this is like WCW Chavo.
That was the bull rope match?
Was it?
Yeah, it might have been, yeah.
But they would like, they went toe-to-toe, and Chavo was busting all sorts of cool shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, I'm waiting, because I'm hearing the commentators say all this stuff. I'm like, oh, he's about to go nuts. And, like, at one point, he does, like, the Eddie, like, senton
oh my God.
Thing.
And the way he lands on his side on that attack. I'm glad you brought that up, because, good Lord, I rewound that so many times.
Yeah, Ty, we were watching that, and you were like, gross. And I was like, took the words out of my mouth.
Just like, oh.
Disappointed!
It knocks the wind out of you just looking at a bump like that.
It's a bump.
It's a bump. Ramses is a real douche.
I spin it.
Oh, man. But it's good stuff. The finish, I will say.
Weird.
I wasn't crazy about the finish. Because, so Chavo Guerrero and Dragon Azteca have this kind of, this blood feud with Pentagon Dark based on the fact that he broke both of their arms. Chavo Guerrero.
Brothers and broken arms.
Of course, exactly, as the episode title suggests. Chavo Guerrero is upset with Rey, obviously, for not counting fast enough. He knows that Dario thinks the ref should count faster. So he just straight up decks him. But like,
he like shoves his finger. And
right.
Ray's like, you don't do that, man. I'll ring the bell right now. I will ring the bell right now. And you can look at Chavo's lips. He's like, fuck you. And like, Vamp is like, well, we can read his lips, but we're not going to see it.
Rey Mysterio did the squeak from basketball. I swear, you guys rip on me 13 or 14 more times.
I'm
out
of
here.
Wake up, bitch. You're my new best friend.
What? Are we going to the zoo? So Chavo decks him. Theoretically, he could have been drawing a DQ, which to me means like, oh, he must not have cared that much about facing Pentagon.
Yeah.
If he's going to just like haul off and deck Rey Mysterio and put that in jeopardy, because Matt Stryker even calls it out on commentary.
Yeah.
He says if he gets DQ'd, he doesn't get the shot against Pentagon. So to me, like, oh, he didn't really care about that at all anyway. But it was very, I wasn't crazy about it.
And then Azteca just pops up and it looked like he was trying to do Rey's, like, Rana into hooking the legs.
Oh, right.
But he just didn't get the legs quick enough, so he had to do the, like, oh, shit, let me
and I think
back
a lot of that high-impact Rana is also very much on the guy taking
it,
too.
Yeah, and it's got to be like from the springboard because it was all about the tuck.
Right, exactly.
And that's what like when Ray would do it in WCW, that's what made it so cool. Is
sure.
Like, he could tuck and just hook the legs and you like would be like, yeah, how would you kick out
exactly.
of that? There's no way.
What is like, it? Halloween Havoc 96 when he's in the purple Phantom
gear.
Oh,
the Phantom gear.
Exactly, with the Eddie.
Dude, we had Billy Zane in here for like...
Say what?
Yeah, we had Billy Zane in for one of the after shows.
Yeah, he
and
was
like,
in for a different show.
Yeah, all of us in the booth were like, holy shit, it's Billy Zane. We're like, Demon Knight, Phantom. And then all the girls are like, Titanic!
Nope. The deep cuts.
No, dude, Back to the Future.
Oh, that's
what?
Right. He was part of Biff's gang.
He was part of Biff's gang.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah,
talk
right.
Talk about the pulls.
Right next to the guy with the 3D glasses.
Wow.
It all, oh boy.
I got a pit bull now.
Demon Knight. Was that the first Tales from the Crypt movie?
Yeah.
No, that was the second Tales from the Crypt
movie.
No,
the first one was Demon Knight. The second one was Bordello of Blood.
Good call. Good call. Good call. Dennis Miller was in
Dennis Miller was
Blood.
In Bordello of Blood.
Weird.
So crazy.
Weird. But, of course, it's small pickings. Whenever we have a problem with Lucha Underground, it's always very, very minuscule. Because... at the end of the day, we still got someone getting their goddamn neck snapped.
Oh,
so,
so good.
That's fine.
Yeah, like, if there's a match that doesn't exceed expectations and there's, like, a lull, the videos definitely
exactly.
make it so, like...
Exactly. And it's really, if that ever does happen, it's only because the bar has been set
so
high.
Yeah, dude.
With things like Grave Consequences and everything that we've seen.
Well, just like the 4-on-4 match. Like,
right.
You know, like, how are you going to top that?
Right, exactly.
Kind
exactly. It's hard to follow Atomico's action, yeah. When it's kind of, it's a relatively grounded match, you know? But let's talk about this mid-credit scene. We love our credit scenes in the Lucha Underground universe. We find Black Lotus, still on her vacation in Hong Kong. Who knows? But it kind of tells that complete story. If you happen to have not been paying attention, or if you forgot where we left off with her, she's got beef with not only Pentagon Jr., who broke her arm at the end of Season 2, but with Dragon Azteca, whose father, in theory, killed her master. Yeah. So we've got these warring factions. Now, she's coming. She's bringing hell with her.
Oh, man.
She's bringing the Black Lotus.
Triad.
Or the, what is it? The Black Lotus Triad to not only take the mask of Dragon Azteca Jr., but to destroy Pentagon Dark and show him what fear truly is.
Yeah. And she's like lighting candles at
oh,
the
man.
Shrine with this. And then when we see her face and the other ones,
mm-hmm.
I was just like, hell yeah, three ninjas. And then all I could think about was like Rocky, Colt, and Tum Tum.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, oh man, three ninjas.
The red, yellow, and blue masks.
Yeah. Oh, so good.
So
good.
I'm very curious to see who this triad is. How they make an impact, how they manifest themselves in the temple. Do you think they might kind of maybe hide out in the shadows most of the season? Or do you think they'll maybe just straight up jump someone?
I think they're going to straight up jump someone.
Yeah?
I think like whatever next match Pentagon Dark has, she's going to come out to confront him and they're going to like surround him and he's going to pull like a Katrina and like disappear.
Ooh, okay.
Or something like that.
Sure. Smoke bombs.
Yeah. Yeah, ninja bomb.
Exactly, exactly.
He's a skeleton ninja, guys. You can't mess with
him. Exactly, really. What are you going to do to him?
Esquelito.
He's like Spinal from Killer Instinct.
Oh, wow.
Just teleport.
Dude,
he really did have a teleporter.
What a pull. I was going to say, though, the fact that it's three, though, is pretty enticing that we could have some new competitors for the Trios Championships.
Very true.
And somebody
very
in the chat true. Said, these are our three up. From the three down that were the Disciples of Death.
Ooh. It's like
a point.
Every time you take a life, a new one has to kind of balance it out. Exactly. It's like Carnival. Did you ever watch Carnival?
No, I heard it was really good. That was the HBO show,
Such
right?
a good show. Such a good show. Nick Stahl, main character, basically he healed people, but when he healed people, that life force had to come from somewhere. Oh, man. I love it.
So
I love that we can talk about
crazy episode,
spooky things.
And it's just going to keep getting nuttier.
And this was kind of, this was a good balance of an episode. There was a lot of kind of just normal grounded in-ring action and a lot of insane bonkers vignette action.
Oh, yeah.
We saw Dario full on becoming the Godfather. We saw Sinestro de la Muerte meeting his final demise. We saw a brand new ninja triad coming to the temple. All sorts of good stuff to look forward to.
It's gonna be crazy.
I'm excited. I'm definitely excited about our new audio drops as well. Very excited about those.
Do not go in there.
Woo! So good. Oh man, but that'll, ladies and gentlemen,
that'll be a great full reveal. They went into Dario's office. Do not go in there.
See you there, Satan. So good. But guys, that's it. That's season 3. That's episode 4. That's Brothers in Broken Arms. We have been having so much fun this season, and we are just getting started. So remember, if you're on iTunes, download, comment, review, subscribe, rate. 5 stars if you're nasty. If you're on YouTube, leave us a thumbs up. Leave us a comment. Find us on Twitter. Find us on Instagram. Hell, find us on the PlayStation Network. Come play Mortal Kombat with us. You know how we love Mortal Kombat. But... Jimbo Slice, where can they find you, and where can they find that DVD in front of you?
You could find me on Twitter at Jimbo in the Booth. You could buy my Young Bucks Too Sweet Journey documentary at highspots.com. I'm going to officially ruin my perfect attendance next week because I'm getting married next week, so I have my rehearsal dinner on Thursday, so I will not be here to talk Lucha Underground, but I will definitely be around to
hear about it. A valid excuse, sir. Yeah. Congratulations.
I got to go rehearse where I'm going to walk down the aisle.
One of those things.
One of those things.
Well, Rachel Evans will be back in your stead, so yes. We will have most of the squad here in studio. We may even have a guest. Who knows?
That'd be great.
Who knows? But we'll be talking season 3, episode 5. Did you put over the disc?
Okay, good. One more thing. This week on X-Pac 12360, you had Rob Van Dam as our guest.
There you go.
There's an upcoming show for PCW on November 11th in Torrance where Rob Van Dam will be taking on Pentagon Jr.
Ooh.
For the PCW world title. Yeah, talk about a crazy dream match.
What a match.
So, definitely check out X-Pac 12360 and listen to that interview and stay on my Twitter to see. I'll post when that show and more info about that show when it comes up. But
X-Pac is every Wednesday.
Yeah. Thank you, Mark.
There you go. As always, you can find me on social media at Ty Matthews PMA. You can follow Mark Donica on social media at Mark B. Donica, right?
Thank you, Ty Matthews.
That's where it is, right?
Yeah.
At Mark B. Donica?
Yeah, okay. That's why I said you got it.
You got good.
Yeah.
Good. I want everyone to have the right handles. You can find me on social media at Ty Matthews PMA, as well as on Mondays on the Monday Night Raw After Show. But guys, until next week, Viva La Lucha!
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
From executive producers Maria Menounos.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals. TV.